Welcome back to His Time. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Craig D'Onofrio.
It's Friday, December 20th, and it is time for our guest segment. This morning, joining us by phone is Reverend Glenn Merritt, Director of LCMS Disaster Response. Good morning, Reverend Merritt.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on the program.
It's good to have you. Where are you these days? I know you've spent some time in the Philippines. You were on the group that traveled over there not too long ago. Are you back in the United States?
I am right now. I'm preparing to celebrate Christmas with my family. I live in Arlington, Texas.
Well, very good. Glad to have you back in the States. You traveled with the first team that went to the Philippines to assess the situation after Typhoon Haiyan. And how did that trip go, and what did you gain from that trip?
Well, actually, I was the leader of that trip and had, with coordination from others, had put together the trip. And it was a trip that represented a number of different programs and departments of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, including communications and mission advancement, the Office of International Mission, the Office of National Mission. And so it was a well-rounded group, and the trip went very well. We were able to connect with our church partners, members of the Lutheran Church of the Philippines, and also with our regional area staff for the Asia-Pacific regional area. And so it was a good trip, good coordination, and good collaboration.
And you've been working in disaster response for quite some time now. How does this disaster compare to the others that you've served in, that you've assisted with recovery efforts?
Well, you know, this is my eighth year as the Director of Disaster Response, and we've responded to over 240 disasters, both in the United States and worldwide. And by comparison, this particular disaster is catastrophic, number one. Number two is almost unparalleled in the total absolute destruction, starting with Katrina and working this way over the past 8 years. The destruction in the Philippines is larger or surpasses anything that I have seen in the 8 years, and I've seen a lot.
Where are they right now in the way of recovery? Are they still completely devastated as the government stepped in over there, or what's the latest?
Well, the government has been active there. As we all know, the Philippines are a chain of islands, actually, and to get equipment from one island to the next when docks were destroyed and furthermore roads were completely closed, and the military had some equipment in Leyte, the island that was struck the worst, but it was unusable because it had been flooded or damaged in the storm. And so it took the government and the military a few days to get up and running, but they were doing a relatively good job when we were there a few weeks ago. And the reports that we have now are that their food and water, some temporary shelter has been distributed, where when we were there a few weeks ago, that had not yet happened.
I know, talking to some of the people who went over there, I guess with you, there seemed to be this sense that the people were really on their own for a while. And I guess it's probably the logistical problem that you were talking about just now, but seemed like they were kind of left there to fend for themselves, to try to find food, to bury their dead and all the rest without much help. Is that just the logistical problem, or was there more to it?
Well, I think, you know, first of all, it is a logistical problem, not just on the part of the government and the cities and municipalities over there and the military, but then secondly, it's a matter of being prepared, and quite honestly, to prepare for a catastrophic event such as this is a challenge in the best of times. For instance, even in Japan, after the Great East Japan earthquake and tsunami, a country like Japan was ill-prepared to deal with a catastrophic event like that. So that's all a part of it. And then secondly, I believe that the lack of good infrastructure, meaning a good communications system, even good roadways and all, hindered and is still hindering the recovery.
Mm-hmm. And where are those efforts now? How are things going? Have you been in communication with a pastor from the Lutheran Church of the Philippines?
Yes, I've been in communication with Pastor Rios a number of times, and things are getting better, although it takes time after an event like this. And understanding that the capacity that we have here in the United States to recover from a disaster, for instance, the recent tornadoes in Illinois, our capacity far exceeds any other place in the world, to be honest with you. Both in terms of the capacity of the government, but also the capacity of faith-based organizations like LCMS Disaster Response to respond, be on the scene, get things cleaned up, get people back on their feet. And it's just not quite the same in a country like the Philippines.
I'm sure it'll take quite a while. The fact that it's all islands and the docks need to be rebuilt, that's, I'm sure, going to take a long time before they can really get back to where they need to be. What about economically? How long do you think that's going to take before they're able to? I know in some of our previous interviews, we talked about coconut farmers, and that's just going to take 15 years or so before they can get back to having the crop that they had before. What does it look like for them economically? What's the outlook like?
Well, I think without some outside intervention, both from the government in the Philippines and also from other countries, and then from organizations like ours, it would be a long, long time. The way it is right now, in order to get back to where they were, they're probably looking at 5, maybe even 10 years. Because, understand, it's not just the coconuts. It's everything was totally devastated. Their fishing boats, their other small crops, their livestock that they used as livelihood was all gone. In addition to the homes, the schools, the hospitals, anything that was there. Like I said, I've never seen that level of destruction that we saw, particularly as we went toward Tacloban City.
Should this be a lesson to us as far as preparedness goes?
Oh, yeah. And I'm glad you brought that up, because being prepared in advance is really beneficial, and that's the word of warning for us here in the United States, too. Because while they were prepared for a disaster to come, for instance, the Lutheran Church of the Philippines had sent people to a training event which we hosted in Hong Kong, and we had actually trained their team, and so they'd had some preparation. But this was so overwhelming, and the lack of resources in reserve made it even more overwhelming. And most of the partner churches that we work with don't have those resources in reserve like we've developed at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Even personally, I know these days there are television shows like The Prepper Show. I can't think of what it's called. And, of course, people can go to extremes and build their underground bunkers with flamethrowers and all sorts of crazy stuff. But is there a minimum amount of things that we should have on hand in case we face things like earthquakes or floods or tornadoes, or depending on where you are, maybe a hurricane or typhoon or any of these things? What are some of the basic things that we should have on hand personally?
Well, again, that's an interesting question, because LCMS Disaster Response, following the lead really of FEMA and of gov.com, have encouraged people to have at least 3 days of food, water, medicines, basic essentials, personal things on hand at all times. We've even promoted what's known as survival kits, and given people a list of those things that would go in a survival kit, so that you would have that on hand should a disaster occur, and the ability to respond to that and bring in those essentials would you would have on hand in your own home and would not have to struggle and wait for someone to get there. And it's just interesting that all of us are on the same page with this, that every family should have a survival kit, no matter where you live.
I think water is one of the things that I've heard is really important. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, Reverend Merritt, that minimum amount of water should be something like 2 or 2.5 gallons a day per person?
Well, you're probably not going to get that much, but that would be a great idea if you could do it. And that's a recommendation. But what we talk about in these survival kits is having enough water to sustain life. The 2 or 2.5 gallons would be more than enough to sustain life. But having that in reserve for your family, for instance, I have a survival kit. I mean, I'm the director of disaster response and advocate that we have now. So I have a survival kit, but I also have 10 gallons of pure water that I keep in stock here at my house should a disaster occur. And, of course, we live in the United States where we're really able to recover. We are so blessed to live here. We really are. And we're able to recover quickly. But for these other countries that we work in, it's important that we help them to be prepared as well. And so, like I said, we actually did this training in Hong Kong where a number of partner churches were represented. And then last September, we did training in Santiago, Chile, where a number of partner churches were represented, talking about the very things that you're bringing up this morning.
I think also your local congregation should consider being involved with all of this so that if anything were to happen, that people in the community would have a place to go to get some supplies, to get some help, to get some shelter, to get some care, and other sorts of things. We need to take a break, Andy.
We need to take a break. When we come back, I want to hear more about the congregation and how their relief efforts are going. I know that the pastor was welcome to talk to the school and visit the school anytime. So I want to hear how things are going with the school and things like that. All when we come back right after this break. Welcome back to His Time. This morning, our guest is Reverend Glenn Merritt, Director of LCMS Disaster Response, and recently returned from a trip to the Philippines in relief efforts following Typhoon Haiyan. Before we went to break, Pastor Merritt, I was thinking about the conversation I think I had with Ross Johnson about 2 weeks ago, and he had mentioned, I think, in the conversation that the local pastor there had been invited to the school. He had been helping out or had conversations with some folks at the school, and they were very welcoming to him in the coming days. And any word from pastor there that the school is doing well and recovering okay?
Well, first of all, I work with so many different areas. Which school are you talking about?
I'm not sure. It was the local school that one of the pastors in the Philippines had visited, and the staff there said that, you know, and the folks at the school said no one had come around to check on us. No one had come, but they were very grateful that pastor had been there to visit.
Yes, certainly, and I'm familiar with that school too. You know, the school is doing well, and actually the Lutheran Church in the Philippines, through that local church and through Pastor Palatu, who was the young pastor that you're referencing, have reached out to the school. And it's interesting that after a disaster, LCMS Disaster Response and other faith-based organizations have been allowed by local governments, not only worldwide, but here in the United States, to actually be in public schools and offer aid and assistance there at public schools. And the same thing is happening in the Philippines, where part of the support that we gave the Lutheran Church of the Philippines and part of the support they themselves raised has been used to assist not only that school, but other schools as they get back on their feet. A school is kind of a touchstone in any community, and what happens is there's where you find the children and the children that are in need, and you can assist those children by helping their families. And so it's a touchstone, a good contact point, and we often use that.
Pastor Merritt, when with all of these disasters going on all around us, I'm sure it just takes a lot of work, a lot of effort. At times, it must seem overwhelming. Why is it that why do we, as the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, put so much effort and work into providing relief in response to these disasters?
You know, I've been in the ministry 30 years now, and I have come to find out, not recently, but in my ministry, that the people of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod are compassionate and caring and concerned. And I should also add, generous as donors. Thanks be to God, they are. And because of their generosity, our disaster response program has been able to reach out to all of these folks here in the United States and around the world. By the way, our team is such a great team, with Reverend Ross Johnson, who will be replacing me when I retire in July, with Reverend Michael Meyer, with Tracy Clontham as our administrative assistant. What a blessing for the church itself. This congregational preparedness you're talking about, we do that training. Volunteer training and certification, we do that. And we just really have been focused on working through the local congregation. So rather than coming into town some big organization, and we have that kind of capacity, but rather than doing that, we always work through the local congregation.
You mentioned when you come into town, when there's a disaster and you send a team out, well, what is it that they go out to do exactly?
Well, the first thing that we do is build relationships. Not oftentimes, all the time when we go out, professional church workers, members of congregations, and people in the community are in disarray. And so the first thing we do is build a relationship with them, a trust relationship. We come to listen and learn from them and not to teach them. The second thing we do is we're able to offer to them resources, financial resources, people resources, spiritual resources, and material resources. And in as much as they have an action plan or they're beginning to develop an action plan, we can help them with that. And part of that is what's known as assessment. Our teams actually go with local pastors and members of their church out to assess the damage that was done to members' homes or members' lives, or even the entire community. So we walk alongside of, and that's our role, to walk alongside of, support and encourage local pastors and congregations.
I think also of the team that went to the Philippines right after this happened. And I think a big part of what they were there to do basically was to report back to the United States what was going on. And I know Pam Nielsen and Ross mm-hmm. Johnson and the rest would contact KFUO, contact the Department of Communications, stay in constant contact through Skype and other media. And I think that probably for the relief effort to go forward and to have proper funding, that kind of urgency needs to really be portrayed and really communicated that, hey, there are people that are really suffering over here. And you folks in America right now who aren't facing these kinds of calamities and who do have resources, you know, please help. This is a great opportunity. And so I imagine that communication is really a big part of what you guys are doing also.
It is. And without our communications department, Pam, who you mentioned, and others in that department, and without our mission advancement department, the folks who help to generate the donor dollars, we would not be able to do the work that we do. It's completely a collaborative effort on the part of the departments and programs of the LCMS. I would say this, though, that the urgency of the situation in the Philippines is not going to go away. We will be going back over there in January to do a follow-up assessment to learn what other meaningful ways we can help the Lutheran Church of the Philippines as they reach out through the local congregations to the people who are in need. And again, that's not just members of their congregation. That's the people who are in need, the entire community. And as we go over to do this follow-up assessment, I always like to say to President Harrison, don't send me out there empty-handed. Mm. we have to be able to meet the need. We can't just, you know, sort of be like James talks about, see somebody cold or hungry and you do nothing, what good is that? And thanks be to God, because, again, of the generosity of the people of the LCMS and the caring and concern of everybody from the top down at the LCMS, we have been able to do that on behalf of the people of the LCMS. It's been a huge privilege to be able to do that.
I think about a few years back with the Haiti disaster that occurred there, and also Katrina, that a lot of people were critical of the disaster relief efforts that the LCMS did, in that there was quite a bit of money raised, and it just seemed to be held back and held back. And then we found out that we deal with these things a lot like we deal with a tragedy in a family, where there's this huge outpouring of love immediately, but then 6 months down the road, no one remembers it anymore. And I think that that seems to be one of the times that we decide this is a really good time for us to spring into action. Is that part of the master plan that you operate with?
It is, you know, and what we look at is not just the immediate aid. There is the immediate phase, and certainly we want to be there to bring relief. But then there's the intermediate phase where people begin to recover. And then there is the long-term phase where people begin to rebuild. And so when we look at the donations that come in, we set an action plan ourselves. And in that action plan, we determine how we can help immediately. And it depends. Every disaster is different. It depends on the circumstance, but how we can help immediately, intermediately, and then long-term. And we sat down with, in this case, the leadership of the Lutheran Church of the Philippines and listened to what they were planning, and then were able to add a few thoughts and comments and together come up with an action plan that works. So, you know, people may give large donations. I mean, I went to Haiti 33 times. I know the situation in Haiti really, really well. But if we had not structured that, we wouldn't have ended up building the homes and villages and churches and medical clinics and schools that we ended up building. We could have dumped $5 million in one night in Haiti. But we knew that we had limited resources, and we knew that we wanted to help something that was long-term and sustainable as well, not just here today and tomorrow they starve. And we're looking at the same in the Philippines, because people's homes are yet to be repaired. Their livelihoods have been destroyed. And that all takes time. And honestly, it takes resources. And by resources, I do mean financial resources in order to accomplish that. And so the urgency won't go away, as I said earlier. And the support of the people of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is essential to the recovery in the Philippines.
So if listeners today want to support these efforts, if they want to support disaster response, how can they do that?
You know, it's really easy. You can either call in on the toll-free number of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and make a donation, or most people are using the internet nowadays, and you go to www.lcms.org/disaster, and you'll see right there it's broken down. Give now, for instance, give to the tornadoes in Illinois, give to the typhoon in the Philippines, and you just click on the Give Now button and you can help us.
Very good. Reverend Glenn Merritt, Director of LCMS Disaster Response, it's been great talking with you. Thanks for the update on our brothers and sisters in the Philippines. Thanks for taking some time with us this morning.
Thank you for allowing me to be with you.
God bless you, Glenn.
Bye now.
Coming up in the next hour, we're going to study God's Word with Reverend Keith Pereira from Christ Lutheran Church in Waverly, Illinois. We'll study Revelation chapter 8, verses 1 through 13. Stick around for more on His Time.